This is N5AOW, Net Control for the Black River Valley Service Net. My name is Bob. The net is held every evening at 9 p.m. on the Mooville Amateur Radio Club repeater, 146.655 MHz. The repeater is located 2.5 miles southwest of Mooville on Jackson Hill. This is an informal net. All interested parties are welcome to check in, with or without traffic. Emergency traffic has priority at all times. Can break in at any time. Is there any emergency traffic? Mooville Amateur Radio Club's next monthly meeting will be on 21st of April at 7 p.m. at the Dodge Pratt Northam Community Center, 106 Schuyler Street. Everyone is welcome to attend. An amateur radio license is not required to become a member. If you're interested in becoming a net controller, please contact a club member and we can set that up. Should a net controller not start the net at 9 p.m., still has not done so after a couple of minutes, please feel free to conduct the net yourself. You'll find the net preamble on our website at www.mooville.arc.com. Are there any Echo Lake stations wishing to check in? Are there any portable, battery-powered, or mobile stations wishing to check in? This is N5AOW, Net Control for the Black River Valley Service Net. I'll now take calls from regular members and guests.
N2PFM, good evening, Bob.
N2PFM, George, how are you doing this evening?
Well, good evening, Bob. We're ready to come in on the net. The temperature here on the mountainside is 20 degrees. Temperature range is 20 to 27. Had 3 inches of snow overnight last night, and right now the situation is light snow here on the mountainside. And that 3 inches that we've got to this morning brings us up to 73.5 on the season. Yes, that's, of course, since November. So that's the situation here. I did get my van back today, and everything seems so far to be working fine. With the condition of the roads, I couldn't really, get it up too fast. I've got about 35 to 37 miles an hour is as fast as I was able to go with it with the road conditions. But everything seemed to be fine. The guy, the mechanic, drove it back to me. And then I went down with him again to his shop. Listen, you feel, anything's wrong. And that, he showed me the one wheel bearing he took out of there. And, apart some of the ball bearings and that thing were in pieces. So, other things were flat spots. It was a disaster. So, what we ended up on there was six injectors, six iridium spark plugs, the other fuel pump we had to put in case, but so far that hasn't been necessary. In fact, I'm going to hold on to it for 2 weeks, and if not, they'll bring it back, and that'll get me almost $200 back on it then. I gave him $250 down on the thing, and I'm sure it's going to, an EGR valve was gone too, causing it to stall when you pull up to a light or whatever, so that was put in as well. So, paid them $250 down. It's probably going to be double that again by the time we're done with everything, which I'm not very happy about. But that's the situation here on the mountainside, so we'll say God bless and 73s, and hope everyone's doing quite well over there by not having to use quite as much heat now for the last few days. Sorry, oil, gas, coal, and wood burners and whatever, but with it down a little, that's going to be less money for them, which doesn't bother me in the least. Say God bless 73s, N2PFM clear.
Okay, George, well, I'm glad they got it pretty well squared away for you, and you'll know in the coming days how well it's going to react and how it's going to do. At least it's running good, starting good for you, and hopefully it'll stay that way and no engine lights coming on. Good deal. Well, thank you for checking it. You have a good evening. This is N5AOW looking for check-ins. Looks like a pretty quiet evening. Well, I worked today on the getting some of the plumbing preparation done, and as I've mentioned before, putting in an iron filter, pretty hefty size one, take away the iron content in the water and try to make the water situation a little bit better to deal with. Had some whole house filters on that helped it early on, but in the passing years it's gotten considerably worse. So one of the things I'm trying to get a handle on, get it cured, and get everything in place to take care of. So pretty much it on this side, and went out in it, got some snow plowing people taken care of, and got myself cleaned out here with areas that we need to travel through. So that part of it done. Alright, let me make another call, see if anyone else would care to check in. This is N5AOW, looking for check-ins. Well, we'll try to Echo Lake Station, see if any Echo Lake Stations wish to check in. Come now.
This is K2KLB, Dean in Tonawanda, New York, just listening in.
Okay, let me see if I have the call correct. Kilo 2, Kilo Lima Bravo, and the name is Dean, is that correct? That Echo Link station checked in. Can you come back with the call sign again for me, if you will?
K2KLB. Kilo 2, Kilo Lincoln Bravo. Tonawanda, New York. Name here is Dean.
Okay, Dean, I thought I had it correct, and I did. Kilo 2, Kilo Lima Bravo. Very good. Glad to have you check in. Got a very clear signal coming into the repeater, and sounds good. How was your day today? You have a little time to fill us in a little bit?
Snow, lots of it. This is about the fifth day in the past week we've had to use the blower, a big blower. And welcome to Buffalo, you know. Other than that, it's been okay. I'm not complaining. I have the health, good health. I can get out there and use it, and some people are not even able to do that. So we're still in the middle of winter here.
Oh, Roger, on the middle of the winter, Dean. I know what you mean. Yeah, we're I'm in the part of the Adirondacks that gets quite a bit of snow here too, and I think the Boonville area and areas surrounding here have all had a fair share of it, but we don't seem to get it in the quantity that you do out that way. For some reason, you get the lake effect, you get the Canadian wind coming down carrying some of it, and whatever else may hit you. So, yeah, I'm glad in a way we don't get the quantity of snow that you guys get out there. Well, thank you for checking in, Dean. Appreciate the check-in. Always glad to have you. Always glad to have Echo Link stations and anyone else checking in when they can. This is N5AOW. I'll make a final call for check-ins. Anyone care to check in? Come now.
KC2WI.
WY. Pete, how you doing?
Oh, not too bad. It's nice and warm in the house here, which is kind of nice. You know, that I can keep it warm without the wood stove chock full of logs and burning through my wood stock real quick, like it was when it was really cold. Yeah, that was me on the other radio, and whatever the loose connection is, I have other microphones that'll work on. It's an old ICOM. I don't know where the heck they are. I'm almost positive it's a microphone cable somewhere, but it's obviously gotten worse just recently. I snowmobiled up to Branningham to the meeting this morning, and it was, I'm sure, just as fast as driving the car up there, because I could go just as fast on the snowmobile on the main road where all snow. I got to ride the road up. The trail goes along Gregg Road, and I didn't even bother going on the snowbanks. I just went right down the road. It was enough snow on it, plus I was kind of in a hurry. And I think if I looked on a map, I'll bet it's more direct. It goes up this dirt road called Van Arnhem Road. If you go on the, well, you could drive Van Arnhem in the summer, but if you go on the regular road, you kind of go, and then you take a right, and you go down a couple miles, and then you take a left, and you go up the hill, and I think it's more out of the way. But anyway, yeah, I went up to the meeting this morning, and then over to the Branningham general store there, and had a donut. Actually, I had two, and some apple juice, and I just rode around, went across the lake and back across the lake, and I just didn't feel like going on a big long ride, and I'd been on my favorite boondocking loop on Tuesday, and so I went down the trail I hadn't been on, the main, well, kind of the main, called Middle Road, and that goes down across the river at Birds Crossing. I just wanted to see, they rerouted a little of that off the road, so I wanted to see that. But I just felt like, I don't know, I wanted to go out, and I wanted to go for a ride, but, you know, I really wanted to be in Lake Pleasant where I could just go out and ride, poke around out on the lake or, you know, a little short ride. But I've done all the little loops around here a few times, you know. So I came back and took a little break and went back out, and I spent better part of the day outside, actually. Pulled the snow off my roof that I know would come down on the driveway side anyway, and then I got to take the snow blower and blow that, and it's not just blow it off to the side. I can't blow it to the side. I got to blow it front, forward, back, around, and then I did my porch roof, which really gets piled up, and, you know, a whole bunch of stuff like that, cleaned out snow that had drifted in behind my picnic table that I have up sideways up against the garage, and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. I was looking at that picnic table. I should put that out, you know, sort of in the back somewhere. But, you know, every once in a while you get a nice sunny day. You just want to go sit there, and I can just flip it down. It's a little one that I made. My dad and I designed and made about 15 years, well, when I first got here. So that'd be about 15 years ago. Out of rough cut wood, and it's small, and it's not, you know, it's not real heavy. That's the way the day went, in and out, and I think I'm going to get up early tomorrow morning and head out on a snowmobile and ride to Lake Pleasant. I'm pretty sure that's what I'm going to do. It's so snowy, I want to go home, and it's so snowy that the roads won't be that great, and that's a nice ride. I think I'm going to try to not go over to your direction there, and I'm just going to fill up with gas right in Port Lytton, and then I'm going to sneak down through the village, which is not really a trail, but I sneak down through the village, hang a right on, I don't know what that road's called, and then down the Wildcat Road, and I can ride up there. I know nobody will bother me there. And it cuts.
All right, Pete. Well, that sounds that sounds like a good ride. That's a lengthy one. Yeah, you kind of do what I do. I like to get out sometimes and just get out and run a little bit, make short run a few miles and so on, and come back home. But yeah, that one'll test your patience, and it'll bring out the cobwebs anyway. Sounds good. Yeah, I think I gotta get the sled off of the. Can I get it off of the trailer and get it out? I got a neighbor that's a little older than me, and he's been haunting me. He says, well, he said, we got enough snow. Got to get out now. So I think that probably need to do that, but I want to check everything, make sure it's all right. Do a service on it and get it down, fire it up, take a ride. So sounds good. All right. Well, you enjoy that trip when you do go. And thanks again for checking in. I'm glad that at least you got an idea what it is with that other mic on that the other rig. It's what it sounded like. It almost sounded like the mic was engaging the transmit, but not the audio. I had one doing that a while back. I don't know if it was on this 2 meter or the other one. I've got 3 of them, and I don't recall which. But anyway, it had the same effect with it, and I wound every solder and the mic back together. Okay, well, I'll make a final call, see if anyone else would care to check in. This is N5AOW, net control for the Black River Valley ServiceNet. Looking for check-ins. Are there any comments, queries, or late check-ins?
KC2WI.
Pick it up, KC2WI.
Yeah, I think it's the mic cable, because what it would do is if I held it just in the right amount of tension in the right position, I could talk on it all day long, but I couldn't get that to work this time, so whatever's broke, you know. And I would think it's either the connector end or the microphone end, not somewhere in the middle, you know. So I'm going to try and fix that one, but I have at least 2 others that will work in that, I think. But anyway, if I go the way I want to go and cut off that big up through the trail from Port Lyden up to the, well, I don't know, whatever the trail number is there that goes from Boonville, you know, up through, I think it's only about 100 miles, which is not that much longer than driving it. So that's not too bad. You know, I'm going to strap on a couple extra gallons of gas because my machine is not that good. But last time when I went through, I came back that way Woodgate, yeah, and or close to there. You know, across comes out at the, I think by that. Oh, I can't remember, but, you know, crosses the Hogsback Road there by the Fish and Game Club, whatever. So it won't be too bad, but someday maybe I'll have to give you a call, and I'll head out that way and maybe meet you and go for a ride around the lake, or maybe we could make a loop, like, down the rail, maybe, you know, over to Woodhull and around the, whatever the trail is there that goes back over to Bear Creek Road or something, and, you know, something like that. Anyway, we'll talk to you later. I wish it was good repeater coverage all the way through, but there really isn't. I don't know. There may be spots, you know, I could get into Boonville or Old Forge or something, but the problem is, not like the old days, half the time, or, you know, probably 90% of the time, there's nobody listening to the repeaters.
I know what you mean. Numerous times I've gotten on during the day, make a call, and no one around, so quiet. I'm usually either in and out, I'm on the computer and do a variety of different things nearby. Or I got the that handheld, the one you saw, I take with me. And a little story about that. I checked in last night as a mobile, and I did it the Friday before when Kathy was doing it. And I said, what in the world's going on? I checked in three times each night. Never got through. Well, I got checking the doggone thing, and the offset was off. So I went back into the menu, turned that on, I programmed in 600. So you either go up or down, and now it seems to be working okay. So, yeah, I was looking to check that out, see how it was working out. Frank, while you're still here, let me grab that doggone thing and see if at least I've got some clean signal with it. I'll be back on here in a second. I got a feeling it didn't go through. I transmitted on it. Did you hear it at all, Pete?
No, I don't think so. I heard a little noise there, but I'd be surprised, really. I mean, from where you are, you know, it doesn't seem like a handheld would get into Boonville, especially not unless you had a big antenna on it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. I do have it on high power, which is 5 watts, but there again, you know, you're talking a spread of, what, 8, 9-inch antenna, and I just don't think it's got the push to get to the repeater with it. It can bring it up, I've noticed that, but I don't think the audio is very good. I noticed a lot of times when someone's on it, it clips. So if I'm outside, it works fine. But in the house, and then of course we got metal roof here, so that's a deterrent for it too. KC2WY, N5AOW Friday.
Yeah, I think that's it. It'll key it up, but it won't hold it, and, you know, and that. Well, yeah, I think, I'm trying to remember, I mean, I can, you know, get into it from a mobile going through there, but, with a handheld, I probably stopped and tried a few places. I think the, you know, at the sand pond lean-to, seems to me I could get in just in one spot, or, you know, if I stood on the roof or something, I don't know if that was there, somewhere I could get into whatever repeater. I have to get on the roof of the lean-to and to get enough height. I don't know, though. I don't think I've ever tried the old Ford repeater since that's bits off, so maybe I could get in that. I think at Chubb Pond, I could get into Boonville with a handheld. I haven't been there in a few years. But, I'm sure it's spotty. Well, now's the time to get out and ride, or Monday after all the traffic's gone, you know, but it's pretty nice. And it's not too cold. It's not going to be cold. I get really cold until the end of the week. It's going to get real cold again.
Yeah, I was watching the forecast. It looked like the temperature's going to hold for a bit in the 20s for a few days, and then I think overnight, probably a couple of nights, they're going to get down there, but that's to be expected. But they are calling for 2 to 3 tonight, at least George had said that on the weather today, and I think tomorrow sometime or tomorrow night we're going to get 2 to 3 again. So gradually we're going to get little chunks of it here and there to build up the base, I guess. So it should be fairly decent. I haven't been out at all. I haven't talked to anyone that has been out. I've seen quite a few sleds across the street, and I don't know how the tracks are. That was the biggest deterrent, because there wasn't enough to really groom over the top.
I've heard that, a Blazers Yogi posted that we're going to go out and groom the tracks. They think there's enough snow. and I didn't see any further report, but there's got to be enough with all this, and it's going to keep coming. And then I've seen some reports up, you know, like up north, I guess they're grooming, you know, Stillwater, Beaver River Station up to, I guess they came down from Tupper Lake. I guess that's covered good enough up there. And I think, I haven't seen anything, but I think it'd be okay. But with any luck, tomorrow I'm going to avoid riding the tracks at all. You know, if you go to the gas station there, and then you head up to the Woodhull, what the hell is it? Yeah, is that the Woodhull? That's the lake. Now I've got that in my mind. You know what I'm talking about. Is that it? It's Woodhull Lake, yeah. You head north or east or whatever direction it is there. You got to go a couple miles until you hit that road, and then you go in the 5 miles or whatever it is and hit the trail. But I'm going to avoid that this time. I'm going to take the shortcut, I think. Try to make it a quick trip. I kind of suspect that maybe the trail between Lions Falls and Fort Lyden might be rough. That's the Boonville Club Trail, and you know, it's like they have to go forever to get to it. So that might not be too good. And what I want to do is get out early so that by the time I get up to Lake Pleasant area, Pacifico and that, you know, I'm up there early enough maybe that they haven't really been beat up too bad. That's a little bit what I'm worried about. And then, of course, coming back on, you know, by Tuesday, most everything should be good. So hopefully it won't be too rough, but at least if things haven't been groomed, at least there's going to be some new snow on it.
Going real fast on because you just can't do it.
I know what you mean. Been across a few of those trails in years past, going over towards, almost had it on the tip of my tongue there. But anyway, down towards Route 8 and so on, and you're cutting through the backwoods, and basically a trail that's flat and a half wide or whatever, and you can make relatively decent time just kind of loping along with it, but, you know, it's not one of those, you run the groomer through, like you say. Yeah, I think that a lot of times you're better off with a ride like that than you are on the flat trails. I see these guys, I don't know, years ago, back in the 60s and early 70s, there were times you had to stand up and ride and so on. Now they got these high-powered sleds. They run 60 to 80 miles an hour standing up. And I can't help but feel that you don't have any, or little or no control standing up on the sled where you would be planted on the seat. It's just my preference, but, you know, who knows what they're doing now, and that, with all the power they got, I'm surprised they don't go off the back and the sled takes off without them.
Well, yeah, CWI, a lot of times I'm reading, you know, discussions on some snowmobile board about the handling and all the trail pushes in the corners and, you know, people, should I get a long track or not? And they're only talking about like a Renegade long track, a 137, not even a, you know, like a 144, 151 or something like that. And the guy says, it's not as good in the twisties. And I'm thinking, what the heck are they talking about? I've got my freestyle backcountry is basically the same track as the Renegade of the same vintage. 16-inch wide by 130, I can never remember, I think mine's 136, inch and a quarter paddles, which is a good compromise if they're not so, you know, deep that they are no good on a hard trail. And it's a very unsophisticated front end. It's a single A-arm suspension. It's not a double A-arm. And the skis that I have, well, on one of them I have a pair of Pilot 6.9s, which are better handling, but the original skis are these cheap camel flat bowl mold skis, and I don't know, I've never had a problem turning that snowmobile, but it's partly it's because I'm not trying to go 60 miles an hour around the corner that you should be going 20 around. I know that all this complaint about handling is absolute nonsense. There are problems like darting and stuff like that. Mine does that if I don't have it just right. And the double runner, the Pilot 6.9 skis really help with that. But, you know, and these guys are running like, 6-8 inch of aggressive carbides. Oh, it won't turn. Well, yeah, it won't turn. You don't turn a 500-pound machine on a tight turn going 60 miles an hour. It just ain't going to work, you know. And I just don't, you know. It's really unfortunate. I occasionally comment that in the boards about, you know, nobody needs a 100 horsepower snowmobile, and, you know, a lot of the problems are due to the high power. And those guys says, well, singles. Well, no, but if we were, snowmobile would still can be considered a safe sport. You wouldn't be worried about getting hit by somebody when you go out. You know, maybe not a 250, but maybe a 340 or a 440 or something like that. And of course, a modern 400-500 cc machine is putting out a lot more horsepower than the old ones. You know, the technology is so much better.
Yeah, I think mine's a 500. And I think mine only puts out 85 or 87, somewhere around there. I don't believe it's much more than that. But it's a 2000, you know, it's nothing. It's 14, 15 years old now. But, you know, it's comfortable for me, and when the trails are halfway decent, you know, I get a good ride with it, even on some of the bumpier trails. But, you know, at this stage of the game, hey, I don't... I don't need to spend $8,000-$9,000 for a new sled that I'm... Look at this year, I haven't had it out at all. you know, it's just been, it's not been conducive to getting out and ride until just recently. So, you know, to put that kind of an investment there now, I got a better things I can do that way, you know. Well, I think I ought to wrap it up here, Pete. I got carried away, I guess, and I'll close this out. Boy, I would imagine Jack's just about ready to do the other net. Yeah, let me get out of here. I'll sign with him. I'll catch up with you maybe tomorrow sometime if I hear you on. KC2WY and 5AOW clear on your final beat.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, if you've got a 2000, yeah, if you only ride it a couple times a year, it's not worth it. But I'll tell you, I got my older sled is a 97 Polaris, and it's not a, you know, it's an Indy Super Sport, not, you know, one of the fancier ones. And I don't think there's that much difference between that and 2000. They did change, Polaris did change their, you know, things a little bit there, but there's just night and day difference between that and the modern rider forward. You know, you sit up kind of straighter and higher, and the suspensions are just vastly improved. So, you know, it might be worth keeping your eye out for a good deal on you know, a couple year old or something. And yeah, I, as much as I snowmobile, I really have a hard time spending $9,000. Five maybe, you know, but I keep the sled for a long time. Anyway, talk to you later, KC2WI.
Yeah, it's all yours, Jack, and 5AOW clear.
Yes, it is. KA2WZ, for the United County, traffic and emergency net. Looking for stations that would like to check in tonight, with or without status. All stations are welcome. Stations can help us.
Good evening, Jack, and 5AOW, no traffic.
KC2NBU, good evening, no traffic.
This is N2WBX, good evening.
Okay, very good. N5AOW, good evening, Bob. KC2NBU, good evening, Ray. N2WPX, good evening, Dennis. Anybody know when AIT is supposed to come be back? Because he's going to pick up some traffic for his uncle for me. I don't know. I don't know when he's coming back.
I think he's going to be back on the 13th or right about then. He's going to be gone through the 12th, I know, and probably the 13th he'll be back, Jack, N5AOW.
He also said he might check in through EchoLink.
Okay, now thank you both. Much appreciated. Well, I may give him a call. I'm telling about Clint, KA2VLA. I might be able to use he handled it, and he agreed, but he didn't think about it.
Oh.